Welcome to Entanglement Radio, transcendent talk for the conscious mind. Join us for inspiring conversations with visionaries in spiritual science, new thought, and conscious healing. Explore the potential and infinite possibilities of what it means to be human with some of the best guests in radio. At Entanglement Radio, it is all connected. Now, here is your host, Angela Levesque, on the OM Times Radio Network.
Have a great guest. In fact, I think I have interviewed Roberta more times than anybody else, twice on this program and twice on my previous program. And I just enjoy her so much. And she's just so full of knowledge. And that's why I keep inviting her back. So we have Roberta Grimes here. And we're going to be talking about the subject of her book, Liberating Jesus, which I hope that as we go into this, I just want to tell my listeners that you listen with an open mind and just feel into the conversation with your heart, because we're going to be challenging some things, especially, some of the things that we've learned. And I know particularly myself that I learned growing up in a religious household. So we are going to be talking about what the real messages of Jesus are and how they apply to our life and our own spiritual growth and development. So we'll get to that in just a moment here. Coming up next week, we are moving from religion to philosophy, which is another one of my loves. And we're going to have the author of Dead White Guys on, Matt Boreski. And we are going to, he wrote this beautiful book to his daughter, kind of just exploring the landscape of Western civilization. So Plato and Aristotle and these big questions of life. Why are we here? Is there an objective right and wrong? So many things. Do the ends justify the means? All of those fantastic questions, which I still think are incredibly relevant even in this era of distraction. So we'll do that next week. If you need to get a hold of me at any time during the week, you can email me at angela@hestiahealth.com. You can find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Hestia Health and Entanglement Radio. And as well, I just posted my new 6-week course called Inspired and Empowered, which begins February 29th. And there's early bird pricing on that now. So you can go to my website at hestiahealth.com and learn more about that. It's all really about activating your potential, understanding your purpose, and really getting excited about your life. So with that, let me introduce my guest today. Roberta Grimes is a business attorney who had two extraordinary experiences of light in childhood that prompted her to spend decades studying nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent communications from the dead. In 2010, Roberta published The Fun of Dying, Find Out What Really Happens Next, and the sequel in 2014, The Fun of Staying in Touch, details the many ways in which the dead give us signs of their survival, and also some astonishingly recent advances in the field of afterlife communication. She now follows those books with Liberating Jesus, which examines the words of Jesus from the viewpoint of the afterlife evidence. So with that, I feel very honored and blessed to welcome Roberta Grimes to the program. Hi, Roberta. Welcome back.
Hi, Angela. I'm so happy to be with you again. I think I've talked to you more than I've ever talked to any other host. So we're even on that.
Yes. Well, you know, in your little bio there, we talked about and that was the subject of the previous time you were on here. We were talking about The Fun of Dying and The Fun of Staying in Touch. And now you wrote a book called Liberating Jesus. So we've kind of, you're still blending some of the afterlife communication, but now you're taking it to a whole new level. So tell us a little bit about how this book came to be.
Well, I had, as you said, two extraordinary experiences. I'll just mention what one of them was. When on April 9th, 1955, 20 years ago, 60, 70, I don't know how many years, 60, I guess it is. You sort of lose track of your age after a while. I woke up in the middle of the night thinking there was no God. And I was a good little Christian child. I was terrified. I was stark, and in the middle of the room, there was this extraordinary burst of white light, just a burst of light. And a voice said, "You wouldn't know what it is to have me if you didn't know what it is to be without me. I will never leave you again." Of course, when you're eight, everything surprises you. Nothing surprises you. Therefore, I thought it was great. If you forget there's a God, they'll remind you. And I went back to sleep. But it still feels, I guess it is seven. I'm almost 70 years old. So it is almost 60, maybe more than 60 years ago. It still feels as if that just happened. And it shaped my whole life. I majored in early Christian history in college. I was a devout Christian. Until I was in my 50s, I was a very devout United Church of Christ Protestant, read the Bible over and over beginning when I was 18. Probably I've read the whole Bible cover to cover six or eight times, and the New Testament only twice as many times. And I was very, very zealous. When I married, I converted to Catholicism because I fell in love with a Catholic. And, you know, Christianity is Christianity. So I became a very zealous Catholic. But the problem was that the more I did afterlife research, and yes, Jesus says it's perfectly fine to consult mediums. He says, try the spirits to see if they're of God. And I don't know of a single practicing medium now or in the past who doesn't very carefully do that, because you've got to. You have to protect yourself from evil. And therefore, I trust what comes through mediums, and I trust that paying attention is not only of God, but I think it's required when information is there. Jesus says, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. So I took him at his word. But unfortunately for me, as a very zealous Christian, I came to realize that absolutely nothing that I had believed as a Christian is true. There is no anthropomorphic God as such. There is only infinitely perfect love. There is no evidence whatsoever you have to be a Christian to get into heaven. There's no evidence the death of Jesus on the cross has ever made an afterlife difference, because there's no evidence whatsoever that any religious figure, God or anyone else, ever has judged us. And so I went through a real crisis of the spirit at that point. I put away my Bible after, you know, decades of reading it every single day. And I was upset because I knew Jesus had told us some of the stuff the dead were telling us, but I didn't want to test him. I didn't want to see his mistakes. I couldn't bear to see them. Eventually, one day, though, I picked up my Bible and I read just the words of Jesus in the Gospels. And I discovered that day that Jesus, 2,000 years ago, told us things about God, reality, death, the afterlife, and the meaning and purpose of our lives that we could not possibly have learned in any other way for 2,000 years, not until at least the 20th century, and in some cases, the 21st. So I had discovered that Christianity is wrong, but Jesus is more right than any Christian can ever imagine. And that was big news. And that made me look more deeply at the correspondences between what the dead tell us and what the afterlife evidence tells us and the teachings. And I, in both of the previous books that I wrote in this series, there's an appendix which details some of them. But the more people I heard from, the more I realized that just wasn't enough. So liberating Jesus is my gift to God. It's my gift to Jesus. We as Christians don't consider him to be nearly as important as he actually is. The dead called him the master. I've never seen them call him anything else but the master, and he is revered in the afterlife. He is so much revered, loved, and adored there. And here, by Christians, I've never been in a church where he was treated that way. Have you?
No, we were talking about before the break, and you just kind of We have the whole hour to kind of unpack what you just said, because there's a lot of things that I want to hit on, but you're exactly right. There's, I grew up, and we were talking about this before we went on air, and I had a really hard time reading the Bible. I couldn't get past the Old Testament because it just didn't seem right to me. It didn't seem that if there is this all-powerful being that he's jealous and full of wrath.
Yes.
And as I said, it just didn't, nothing resonated with me from that. But it was interesting as I'm reading your book, and you just have the passages of Jesus, and I can read that and say, right on. Like, there is resonance. There is connection to those words, because not only does that make sense to my my rational brain, like, it didn't even make sense to my rational brain that there would be this God that would just be like, oh, well, I created you, but now I'm just going to destroy you because you're not doing what I say. And I just that. But more importantly, it didn't make sense to my heart. It didn't. And that's why, as we unpack kind of, because you threw out some really big statements here already in the first 10 minutes, as we spend the hour kind of unpacking those things, I want my listeners to, especially if they feel triggered, especially if they're like, what is she saying? That's not, you know, just to kind of take a breath, open the heart and listen. And maybe after the hour, they will be able to go, and maybe not. But when you're triggered that deeply, that means something is being challenged, something that's disresonant within the self. So I just say that. But yes, you're right. In churches, you know, yes, we do. We talk about God, but there's so that message is so diluted by so much of the dogma. And that's why I called the show Moving Beyond the Dogma, because that really dilutes the message, I think, that he was trying to get across.
I think that the evidence is very strong now that Jesus actually, when he walked the earth 2,000 years ago, was God on earth. I don't know that it's ever happened before. It may never happen again. But the ancient Jews had walking among them God, trying to help them understand how to make human life productive and joyous. The dead tell us we're here to learn and grow spiritually. That's the reason the universe exists. There doesn't seem to be any other reason. And yet, I was a Christian until I was in my 50s, and a deep one. I don't think anybody listening was more devout than I was. I thought I would end up being a nun after I was widowed. But in all that time, I never remember hearing clearly in either a Protestant or a Catholic church, we are here to learn and grow spiritually. Open your gospels. Inside the gospel is the greatest short course in learning and growing spiritually, just as Jesus said it was. My next book is going to be called The Fun of Growing Forever, and it is literally going to talk about how to use these teachings.
Well, we're going to talk more about that when we return here with Roberta Grimes on Integument Radio. We'll be right back.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Hi, this is Sylvia Henderson, intuitive life coach and energy healer. Are you ready to elevate and rise way above your normal? Be sure to listen to my show, Intuitive Transformations, on OM Times Radio, Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern. Get the inspiration you need to transform your life.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle. The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
And we are back here, and you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on the OM Times Radio Network. If you're just joining us today, we are talking with Roberta Grimes about the subject of her book, Liberating Jesus. So, Roberta, you gave us a really good overview of the book before the break, and now I want to kind of break some of that stuff down. And I want to start with the Bible, because this is the Bible as a whole, as it is today. And I want to start there, because I think that that is every, you know, from a Christian perspective, that is the design or the divine inspired word of God. And so it's not something that you, and it's not something you can just pick apart and just say, no, this part is right. But that's kind of what your, the conclusion that you came to. So let's talk about the composition of the Bible and break it down a little bit.
The Bible, I'm talking the Protestant Bible, has 66 books. Most of them are Old Testament. There are four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are the eternal word of God given to us when he was on earth as Jesus. And then the rest of the Bible is the New Testament, which was put together in smoke-filled rooms, basically, from early writings. I think that anyone who bristles at the thought that the whole Bible is not the inspired word of God needs to look and actually read. Just sit down and read the Old Testament. Read Leviticus. Ask yourself if there are any Christian men you know who are refusing to cut the edges of their beards. Ask yourself if you yourself ever wear blended clothing. There are so many rules that Christians don't follow. I don't care how strict they are. And when I've asked them, well, why don't you take that part seriously if it's all the inspired word of God? They say, well, that was cultural. They're right. That they're right. Most of the Old Testament is cultural. The part that is not cultural is old rules, which Jesus came to replace. And you can see that if you sit down and read the New Testament, just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, giving Jesus a chance to speak to you as he needs to speak to you individually. If you read it, you'll see he himself told us to throw away the Old Testament. He says it right in the Gospels. We just ignore that. He replaces all the rules, including all 10 commandments. He replaces it all with God's law of love. And if you like, I'll recite just how we know that's true.
Sure.
Okay, we have to understand something important about Jesus' teachings. When he was walking the earth trying to teach, to speak against the prevailing religion was a death sentence. So he was really pretty clever about the way he did this. A few things he did, we know about the parables. The reason he told parables was to give his readers, rather listeners, important insights while he fooled the temple guards, thinking that he was just telling a story. That's why he always sort of says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then he kind of winks apparently at them, the people who are listening. But there were always temple guards. They changed, though. So one of the things he would do was over days of time, he would give important truths in pieces. And there are a number of places where he does that. But the one where he basically tosses the Old Testament is two places. First, one day someone says to him, well, teacher, aren't you just replacing the law and the prophets? That's what the people of his day called the Old Testament. It was all their scripture. And Jesus said, think not that I've come to replace the Old Testament. I have come to fulfill the Old Testament. Okay, what does he mean by that? Well, different day, different temple guards, but same loyal, of course, followers. Someone says to him, teacher, what's the most important commandment? Jesus doesn't mention any of the 10. He doesn't mention really anything that is expressly in the Old Testament. Instead, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Then he says something which I've never heard repeated in any church. He says, in that consists all the law and the prophets. So what he did then, what really was just say, look, I came to fulfill it. Now that I'm here, you don't need all that legalism, all that jargon, all that fear anymore. The whole law that God has for us is perfectly love God, perfectly love your fellow man. That's it. That's what Jesus intended to do when he came to earth. I think another thing that Christians should stop and think about is the fact that if all that Jesus came to do was to redeem us, frankly, that's such an appalling doctrine. We could talk about that separately.
But, yes, let's talk about that in a minute.
but in fact, if all he came to do was to redeem us, he didn't have to say a word. Why would he bother to teach us anything? He could just have shown up, said, well, God has decided to redeem you from all your sins. Let me at that cross. I got other stuff to do. Died, risen from the dead, and left. He wouldn't have to say any more than that. Why did he bother to teach us? That to me is a question which every Christian must ask him or herself. When all the Christian churches that I've ever been in use the rest of the Bible to basically dilute those teachings, I would argue to you, if you love Jesus, if you love him at all, you've got to put his teachings first, or else you are not loving Jesus as you're supposed to love Jesus.
Well, one of the things that you said there, and this is something that we say all the time, and this is, yes, so I love your neighbor as self. And lots of times we talk about that, love your neighbor as if it was yourself.
Right.
So, and you bring up a really important point that it says love your neighbor as self. It's right. Not creating that separation, like, you know.
Right. That's right, Angela. One of the things we learn in studying the afterlife evidence is that our minds are part of the eternal mind that is the only thing that actually exists. Your mind, everybody's mind, is an internal part of the eternal Godhead. So when he says, love your neighbor as yourself, he's saying it because your neighbor is yourself. I think that's a very important insight from the Gospels, which again, Christians miss.
And here's another thing, and this is, and I need to be mindful of myself as I say this, but, you know, often I'll be listening to conservative talk radio, and of course, many of them profess to be Christians. And when you hear about these teachings, love your neighbor as self, love your enemies, and then on the other time, you hear these people who profess to be Christians go and say, you know, let's get rid of all the terrorists. What we need to do is stop messing around, go in there and kill all the terrorists. And I think what the hypocrisy of that? But then I need to look at myself, because as I'm listening to this on the radio, I am not loving him as self. I'm not loving I'm mad, actually. I'm mad. And that's a really big thing, that idea of love. And to from your perspective, saying that this love commandment is bigger than, you know, all of the other 10 commandments that we were given before that. It seems to me that this is needed more than ever, and that we actually really do need to come back to these teachings of love, because we'll never deal with murder and violence with more murder and violence. That will never lead to love and peace.
You are so right, Angela. Think about it. We cannot change the world until we first have changed ourselves. That's where change happens. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. He's absolutely right. We are meant, each of us, to strictly follow the teachings of Jesus. In doing that, we will transform ourselves. If enough people do that, and it wouldn't take many, if half the people who profess to love Jesus would actually follow the teachings of Jesus for 5 years' time, there would be no more wars in the history of the universe. It's that easy. We need to do it, though. So I guess I'm just asking Christians, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, it's not a lot for him to ask you to actually read and follow what he said, is it? I think that's fair, don't you?
Yes. Well, I want to just touch on this one a little bit longer. So from you, who has dived so deeply into the Gospels, and I'm listening to Sean Hannity saying this, and I'm listening and I'm mad. I don't hate him. I don't wish ill upon him, but I'm mad. So from looking at the Gospels, how should I approach that? Should I just be sending him beams of love?
The most important thing that you can do is to sit down and read the words of Jesus on love, forgiveness, and spiritual growth, and just follow them literally. I started doing this early in 2011 because someone, I was talking about The Fun of Dying, which had just come out. Someone said, well, do the teachings work? And I said, I'm sure they do. But then I thought, you know, somebody ought to find out. What I discovered is a miracle. I discovered that if you strictly follow the teachings of Jesus, if you put them first in your life for just a few months, they begin to transform you internally in ways that I cannot even begin to describe. And that process goes on. It's easy. It's so easy to become Christ-like. Why? Why is it easy? Well, it took me a while to figure it out. And what I've discovered is, I think, that the reason is we aren't learning anything new from Jesus. Instead, he's teaching us how to remember what we really are, which is perfectly loving parts of the eternal Godhead. This is a process of remembering, following the teachings. But if you're following the teachings, you can't judge another human being. I have never met a group of people more judgmental than Christians. Jesus says, "Judge not that ye be not judged. Forgive and you will be forgiven. For with the measure you use, it's going to be measured to you," which is yet another of the many things he said, which we now can determine is exactly right. So I would just urge everyone, if you love Jesus, try it out. Try living his teaching strictly. Try putting him first. I'm not saying for now throw away the rest of your Bible. It was a long process for me to finally realize I had to make a choice between Jesus and Christianity. And it's still a painful one for me, but I choose Jesus. And believe me, I cannot imagine anyone making a different choice.
Well, I want to ask, we're on a break in a couple minutes, but I want to ask about love. If there's a way that you can explain, because love, again, has been diluted. We love a yes. hot dog. We love that dress or that TV show. And when we look at something as big as that teaching that throws out all other teachings of love, is there another way, maybe energetically or from a consciousness perspective, to describe love so that we understand it bigger than, you know, I love eating pizza?
Well, when you start to truly practice the gospel teachings, you begin to find ways to expand the love you have for certain people so that they cover everyone. The goal is for you to look at each stranger on the street and see God and love that person perfectly. But it's a process. I'll be talking about that in The Fun of Growing Forever. But there are tricks you can follow. And yes, you do end up looking at every child as if that child were your own, looking at every bum on the street and knowing and loving that person to his or her core. It works. Love is just what crowds everything else out when you learn to do it well.
Okay. So I have a little tool when I'm listening to some conservative talk radio to understand. Well, and even going back to love your neighbor as self, essentially, we are one and the same. So as I judge him, I judge myself.
That's right.
Well, we are up on a break here. When we get back, I do want to talk more about the resurrection and more about the original sin and how you view those types of things and how they kind of fit into the Gospels. And we'll talk about that and more when we return here with Roberta Grimes on Entanglement Radio. We'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
The name is Bond, James Bond.
No, the name is Joe, The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our ninth season here on OM Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on omtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go.
Yeah!
Time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Subject of her book, Liberating Jesus. So, Roberta, there's a few things I want to talk about now because they're pretty big in in the Christian religion, and that is, let's start with the original sin that Jesus, that Adam and Eve, that they came and they kind of ruined it for the rest of us, for every other. That was another thing in my rational mind that didn't make sense to me. I was like, why would the rest of us be screwed because of the acts of the first two people? That doesn't even make sense to me. That, like, talk about setting yourself up for failure. So, So how do you view the original sin?
Well, there isn't an original sin. We are originally perfect. We've just forgotten that. And Jesus didn't talk about original sin. Jesus talks about our perfection and relating to God as spirit, because God is spirit. God never takes a human form. I think the only time it's ever happened was Jesus. Let's talk about how all of that actually happened. The way it happened was really quite simple. God came to earth, gave us perfect teachings, and then, for reasons we can talk about in a minute, chose to be crucified and to rise from the dead. This was a disaster for his followers because he was supposed to be the Messiah, and now he's dead. How do we explain this? Well, if you're a first century man, you look at what you know of God. And what they knew of God was that God was fiercely judgmental. God kept requiring them to sacrifice pigeons in the temples. And if they sacrificed pigeons, God would forgive them for all these horrible things they were doing wrong, because they could never follow all the rules in the whole of the law and the prophets. First century Judaism was a pretty harsh religion. But look what God did. God must have given us his son to be the ultimate sacrifice. Now we don't have to sacrifice pigeons anymore. This was a good thing God did for us. Now we have this sacrifice. If we just claim him as our savior too, we don't have to be judged horribly by Jehovah God. So this was a wonderful thing in the first century. But what it does is to make 21st century Christians essentially adherents of a first century Jewish sect. That's what it is. The truth. And Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. People know that he said that. They don't remember that he said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's a big difference, because the religion itself does not hold the truth. All religions, every religion is of man. A lot of them are inspired by people who were inspired by God, but they're seeing things through their own cultural filters. We see that in other religions, obviously. I think it's time for Christians to look hard at their own and see that this is cultural. So much of it is cultural. The true God loves us so much. I mean, think about this for a moment. Ask yourself which of your own children you would most enjoy watching be horribly murdered so you could forgive the others. And if you recoil from that, as of course you should recoil, ask yourself why you're more loving than God is. Why are you more forgiving than God? The answer is you're not. God doesn't blame us for anything. God does not need a sacrifice. God loves us perfectly. Anything you do, no matter what it is in your life, is like a toddler, spilling his cup of milk on the carpet. God loves you more than you can possibly imagine, and you are part of God even now, and your mind is eternal. It's time for us to start recognizing that truth, and then we will be less fearful. The real problem, Angela, is this. Fear and love are opposites. You cannot love what you fear. The last thing I discovered, and that what made me stop attending church, was that being there made me fearful. I was fearful of the God I had learned about in church. And you can't love what you fear. You can't love God the way you need to love God unless you get rid of that fear.
I remember taking my son to a Christmas Eve candlelit sermon. And the guy, the pastor, gets up there, and the first thing he says is, "None of you are deserving of grace."
Oh!
And I thought, I'm trying to put earmuffs on my son's ears. I'm like, that's not true. That's not true.
No.
And I just thought, why would that be your message on Christmas Eve as we talk about, you know, the birth of Christ? Why would that be your message? And so it goes to the, I want to get into the whole crucifixion, because you're right. Why, first of all, if the original sin is not, which is not true, then we don't need Jesus to die on the cross for us. So from your perspective, what was that about?
Well, we have to think about who he was talking to. He was talking to Iron Age primitive people, and he was trying to tell them what even 2,000 years later, most people don't understand, which is that our minds are eternal. Our minds are part of God. We are God's best beloved children. The kingdom of God is within you. They didn't get any of it. He's telling them, you'll never die. They've seen people die. They see animals. Of course you die. They know that. So that was the one thing I think that he really couldn't get across. And the only way he really could get across that great truth was to die on the cross. He chose a very public, brutal death. So he was stone cold, flat out, dead as a doornail. And then three days later, he said, ta-da, here I am. You see, I didn't die and neither will you. I think that's the reason for the death and the resurrection. There, the resurrection really is important. If all he did was die for our sins, the resurrection doesn't matter. You know, as he said when he was on the cross, it's finished. It could have been finished there if that's all he was doing, but he was dying for a whole other purpose. He loves us enough to demonstrate to us that death is not real.
And I think that there was other times, and we can talk about those, where he was demonstrating and he spoke about our true power, about moving mountains and, you know, yes, walking on water and all of those things. So I know, and this is kind of the part in the book where you really bring in some of the quantum physics of it all. So can you kind of explain how, what he was trying to demonstrate there, and then what we know in this 21st century about the nature of consciousness?
Well, here's the truth. What we discover in studying death intensively is that while we're in bodies, we have very limited use of our minds. They're much more powerful even here than we realize, because we're so used to the notion we can't basically use them to do anything. But once we die and our minds merge with our superconscious, we are very powerful indeed, which is what we talk about in The Fun of Staying in Touch. But even here, If we are convinced we can do something, Jesus said, if you tell this mountain to go throw itself into the sea and you don't doubt, but you believe it's going to happen, it'll be done for you. What he's saying is your mind is powerful. You can make things happen. You can walk on water. You can transform water into wine. He said, all these things I do, you're going to do and more. Once you understand the power of your mind, whenever he was healing someone, he virtually always said, you know, go in peace. Your faith has healed you. Your mind has healed you. People, I mean, even 2,000 years later, it's amazing how we can really see how he knew what we only are learning now about things like the power of our minds. But yes, if you are certain that you can, you know, cause a mountain to go throw itself in the sea, what we now understand about the power of consciousness, which is the core of the base physics of all reality, what we now understand is, yeah, you can make it happen with your mind, even here.
Hmm. It goes back to that conversation about separation, which I think causes a lot of, when we, you know, we talked about terrorism and is being separate. And, you know, recently I've had somebody sending me messages about their guru that they would like me to connect with and follow. And I think, again, it's that place of there's, you know, it's okay for them, but not us, that they're separate, that, you know, Jesus can do these, he can heal and he can turn water into wine. But that's, you know, that is for him, it's not for us. And I think that that separation is detrimental. We see that show up in so many geopolitical conversations, even in, you know, on a smaller scale within the workplace or in our families, that we create this really distinct individualistic mindset that stops us from really experiencing that love. So what, from his teachings, what would he have to say about us looking in pure worship and separation.
I don't think he even would acknowledge the concept of separation. Remember, this is God on earth. This is someone who knows that we are all one being. Essentially, there's only one of us here, and that is God. Each of us thinks that we are separate, but we are all part of God. And everything that Jesus says shows that he knows that. And everything he says shows that, for example, he says a couple of times in the Gospels, it's not me talking, it's God speaking in me. I mean, it's hard for me to adequately express how consistent what he says in the Gospels is with what we have learned over decades of studying what the dead tell us. And they're telling us now, we have much better communications with the dead now than we ever had before. And they all tell us exactly the same things. There is no separation. We are all one being. And that's what love really is. It's affinity for oneself in everybody. In all things, in God. It's this natural clinging to oneself, which is really clinging to all of us.
Mm, I like that so much more because, you know, when I asked the conversation or asked the question about, having a love for a pizza, and how do we get deeper with that understanding? Because
yes.
We use, it's kind of whitewashed, but I like that, the affinity for, to love the self and see the aspect of self in Sean Hannity.
Even in Sean Hannity.
But that's, when we get back, I want to say, because you were just saying how consistent it is with the afterlife as evidence. If there's part of the Bible or part of these messages, especially of the gospel, that are inconsistent with some of the afterlife as evidence. And one of the other, I think, big ticket items that we have to talk about as well is this idea of the devil, because I think that there has been nothing more fear-inducing than this conversation that your soul is going to be damned for forever. So that that's a really big conversation as well. So we only have like 40 seconds before we go to the break. Let my listeners know, what is your website?
My website is robertagrimes.com. I blog there. There's a way to ask me questions, and I do answer questions. I tell people, if you don't hear in 24 hours, send flowers.
I like that. Okay, well, when we get back, we'll talk about the devil, as well as if there are any inconsistencies between the Gospels and the afterlife evidence. So we will talk about that in our last segment when we return here on Entanglement Radio. We'll be right back.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com. and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake. Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
And you're listening to Entanglement Radio with Angela Levesque right here on the Om Times Radio Network. This is the segment where we like to bring it on home, and it's brought to you by Hestia Health, creating calm minds, open hearts, inspired lives. You can find out more about the Inspired and Empowered program beginning on February 29th. And it's all about activating your potential, connecting with your purpose, and getting excited about your life. So you can find out more about that at HestiaHealth.com. All right, Roberta, let's talk about the devil, because I think there's nothing more fear-inducing than thinking you will be damned to hell if you do not follow the certain set of rules.
One thing that we really, those who investigate the afterlife have really looked hard for is a powerful entity in opposition to God. There's a lot of evil entities, but the reality is we've never found a Satan, and I think that the physics of the greater reality really preclude the possibility of any kind of devil, any kind of organized evil. Here's the problem that organized evil has. This consciousness physics, the highest level of consciousness is love. The more loving an entity is, the higher it goes in the afterlife. God is perfect love. In fact, I know a very advanced being who calls God the unity of pure love, which I think is probably a pretty good definition of God. So God is powerful because God is love. Well, when you get the devil, who's, let's face it, the opposite, you get weakness. The most evil entities of which we're aware have virtually no power at all, nothing. They feed off negativity on this planet. So we have much more of that, evil entities sort of surviving here on the negativity that we shed in volumes. We still have that here. But once enough people are following the teachings of Jesus, all of that will go away. But people don't need to fear the devil. And, you know, I'm just telling you, frankly, we've never found one. We're confident that it can't exist. Powerful evil cannot exist, not in the reality that we are studying now.
Well, that makes sense to me on many different levels. So that was another thing that not my heart nor my rational mind could wrap around that idea. So let's talk about, there are a few, because you were saying before the break that how consistent everything is with the afterlife evidence and the Gospels. But you do talk about in your book that there are a few pieces of coal among the diamonds. So you don't have to give us all the examples, but just give us one or two where there has been some inconsistencies.
Well, when I studied all of this in college, we went in great detail into the early councils. I challenge anybody to look at the councils and how they put the Bible together and still be confident that it's the inspired word of God. It just, it was real. It's like watching sausage being made. It was very messy. In point of fact, they removed words of Jesus from the Gospels. We know this. And they also added things. We know this too. We can see there's the first appendix of Liberating Jesus talks about how to recognize what is not the words of Jesus. A great example is where, if I can quote this, he says, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against you. What you bind here will be bound in heaven. What you loose here will be loose in heaven." That has to have been added later because there's not a word of that we can confirm. In fact, it's contrary to the other things that Jesus says in the Gospels. There is no Hades. There's certainly no gates to Hades. There is no, at the time that Jesus is here, there's no church. In fact, I think there is considerable evidence that Jesus meant to replace all religions with his law of love and his teachings. So, and also the notion that if somebody says something here, it's going to be bound by, God will be bound by that. That's absurd on its face. So that whole passage gets thrown out. there are places where the book of Revelation has been imported into the Gospels, just one chapter, because it's very important, I think, for these early church fathers to instill enough fear in people to keep them in the pews, and that instilling of fear continues today. I mean, that's what religions are. They instill in us a great fear, and then they say, but we have the way to remove the fear. You just got to come to church or whatever, every Sunday or whatever day, and we'll protect you from what we've taught you to fear. The fear is wrong. The fear is unnecessary. God loves us perfectly. There is nothing that can harm you because you are God's best beloved child. That's what Jesus tells us. I believe him more than I believe the Council of Nicaea by a long shot.
Well, one of the things that I didn't know until in my early adulthood is what you were alluding to, that a whole bunch of books didn't make the cut, that they just decided, well, you know, at some point somebody thought these were the inspired words of God, but they don't really fit into our into what is now the canonized version of the Bible, that there's all of these apocryphal books that never made it. And I just thought, who made those decisions?
Well, they were made by politicians in smoke-filled rooms. There are books that you can get which describe what happened at the councils. And if you really want to be disillusioned about Christianity, you should read some of what actually happened. When I left college, I was still very Christian, but I trace my disillusionment with the religion to what I learned, you know, 50 years ago in college. In point of fact, we should say also, the book of Revelation is the ravings of a madman. It is so contradictory to everything Jesus says in the Gospels that either Jesus is wrong or that book is wrong. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And Jesus tells us it's up to us to bring the kingdom of God on earth. We pray every day. We all pray as he suggested we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as on earth as it is in heaven. That will only happen when we change ourselves and thereby change the world using his teachings. There's no way that a guy and a horse with a sword is ever going to change human hearts. So you could throw away the book of Revelation with a lot of other things. It's never going to happen. That's not of God.
Well, and that's interesting because, I mean, now that there's so many conversations now about the end times, and
right. It
almost seems like this self-fulfilling prophecy that we're just, well, we're expecting this to happen, and now we're seeking out every bad thing and using that as further proof that, you know, that this is happening. And I wonder if we changed our perspective and instead of having 24-hour news cycles about violence and terrorism and, you know, if it bleeds, it leads, if we started showing all of the love and the greatness and the beauty of the human spirit, how that would shift things.
Absolutely, Angela. If every Christian would just follow the teachings of Jesus literally, I don't care what else you believe, just give Jesus that gift in return for whatever you believe he has given to you. Follow those teachings literally for 6 months and the whole world will change forever.
And the last thing I just want to say, you know, we've been talking a lot about Christians and then the teachings of Jesus, but I know that many people who are not Christians, part of the reason that they've completely ignored it, even that, because everything has been together. And I know for so many people like atheists or even other people who practice other religions, they have just kind of, you know, turned away from any of it because of all of this stuff that we've been talking about. And so even people who, you know, aren't Christians, especially people like atheists, if they can just go and read, like you say, the red letter teachings and kind of let the rest of that stuff go, I think that there's so much value in that, even if you're not a religious person.
This is the easiest, I mean, forget about gurus. This is the easiest way for you to grow spiritually, to transform your life, to make yourself happy. Forget about Christianity. Just follow the teachings of someone who came to us 2,000 years ago to tell us what's true. The reason I love it is you don't have to learn to meditate. You don't have to chant. You don't have to go sit in a church, and you don't have to listen to a guru. All you need to do is follow the teachings, and that's all it takes.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left, so I want to give you plenty of opportunity to, again, tell us your website, where people can find your books, and anything else you'd like to leave our listeners with today.
Again, robertagrimes.com. My books are available everywhere. They're available now in a lot of bookstores. And if you go into a bookstore and they don't have it, you might suggest they order it because we find they sell very well off the shelf. But of course, they're also available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. I podcast weekly on WebTalkRadio.net. My podcast is called Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, and I gore both oxen. I talk about Christianity, frankly, and its shortcomings, and I talk about science, frankly, and its shortcomings. Basically, both of our trusted institutions are misleading us. They're not right, but we now know what is right. And it's time for us as a people to begin to look frankly at the truth, because the truth is beyond belief wonderful. You are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end, and you are infinitely loved. Knowing that that's true, what could be bad? I mean, it's all good. We just have to learn it for ourselves, because neither Christianity nor science even begins to tell us what's true.
Well, Roberta, as always, I want to thank you so much for being on the program. It's always a delight.
I love you, Angela. I think you're wonderful.
Well,
thank you. Terrific work.
Well, thank you, and have a great day. Again, if you haven't, we talked alluded a lot to the afterlife evidence. You can go and find my other interview with Roberta Grimes here on the OM Times Radio Network as well. Just go to the archives in Entanglement Radio. Coming up next week, we're switching from religion to philosophy, and we're going to be exploring the landscape of Western Civ with the author of Dead White Guys, Matt Boreski. And of course, you can find out more about myself, get an intuitive reading, find out more about my Inspired and Empowered program at HestiaHealth.com. And you can also find me on Facebook and on Twitter at Hestia Health and Entanglement Radio. And listen to me live here at 12 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday on the OM Times Radio Network. This is Angela Levesque wishing you love and light. I'll see you next week.
Free your mind with